Well, welcome everybody. This is Rich and Barbara Meese, and this is our first 2019 Disc Digging Deeper into Disc call, and we're excited to have you join us for a great day with Ken Vogas sharing more about biblical characters. And I'm going to start with a devotional this morning that came on our Lead Like Jesus site. Hopefully most of you, all of you, should be getting the devotional, and it just tied in perfectly. So God, of course, knew exactly what to tell us today. So I'd like to read with all your heart. This is this morning's Lead Like Jesus devotional. The call to lead like Jesus takes a different shape in each of our lives according to how God has shaped us. Has God wired you to lead like Nehemiah by stepping out in faith and prayer to lead large projects? Or has he created you to be more like Barnabas, discerning God's work in others and coming alongside to encourage and support them? Perhaps he shaped you to be a marketplace leader like Priscilla and Aquila. Whoever God has made you to be, and wherever he places you, lead like Jesus with a heart devoted to loving God and loving others. And the verses this morning are from Matthew, the great commandments. Jesus replied when asked, "What is the greatest commandment?" Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Of course, from Matthew 22:37-38. Our prayer today, God, shape and use me according to your vision for my life. Let my life, love, and leadership flow from love for you and love for others. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So we are excited to have you join us as we kick off 2019. We've got some updates that we'd like to share with you, and we thought we'd lead with those. Some of you that are using the biblical disc would want to know that there have been a few changes in what we're now calling biblical disc version 5.0. So whenever there's a significant change in our assessment report, we like to give it a new version number. And then, of course, if there are minor tweaks, it becomes a 0.1, a 0.2, that kind of thing. So big change. Our provider has helped us out by taking a page that was a little more difficult for people to understand and sometimes for some of us even to explain, and made it easier for us, and that would be the wheel page. So I hope you have a copy of the biblical disc handy, or you were able to download the link that was sent with your announcement for this call. Page 17, as you know, is looking at your disc style from more of a circular or octagonal shape. And basically what it does is that it shows you your natural style with your dot, your adapted style with your star, and so that helps in terms of how far apart are those two, how much are you having to adapt, and then it also gives us great information about where do we fall within the DIS&C continuums as you look at the graphic there. So just briefly, I'll say a few things about that. This also affects page 5, because what's changed on this is in the middle of the circle, if you will, there used to be a whole bunch of numbers, and people always wondered, well, what do those numbers mean? And what they meant is that this was what would help the computer figure out where to place your dot and your star, and now the provider has turned those numbers into DIS&C scores, I guess, if you will. So we're really excited that this really makes this much more, hopefully, explainable and understandable. I'm going to pause in just a moment and entertain any questions on that. What we always tell people, the further you are towards the outside of the circle, the higher energy. So notice in our example that we sent out, this person's adapted style, in this case, is very high D, almost to the outer edge. They're probably a 92 to 95% D on this particular adapted style, but their natural style falls into the DI continuum, and so that one is not quite as high. Probably, I'm going to guess, in the 85 5% range or something on their graphs back on page 6. So we're just really excited that this makes this hopefully more understandable. One of the main benefits of the circle, as most of you know, on the collaboration report, you can plot two people and get a sense of how close they are to each other. As well as the team reports, you can plot a whole team of people, literally dozens of people on this, and it really gives you a sense of where the team is and what styles are most prevalent on the team, what's missing on the team, which is always important to understand, and that kind of thing. So I'm just going to pause and entertain a comment question or two about that. Barbara then has a note, and then we're going to introduce Ken and get into our teaching time. So what would you like to know about the octagon or the wheel or what we call the behavioral pattern view?
I have a question. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes. Tim.
Yeah, this is Tim Funk. Do you anticipate participants wanting to know additional descriptions of each of the, you know, behavior patterns? You know, like SCI and what that means and such. I mean, I know we can work through and explain it, but in lieu of the numbers, which were slightly more abstract and, you know, you could basically ignore them, I would imagine that participants now would be maybe trying to decipher more details that add to the address that's where their dot resides.
Thank you, Tim. I love that question because that's really where we're going today with our teaching time. And yes, they probably will have that question occasionally, and that's when we say, oh, I'm so glad you asked, because we're going to take you to pages 25 to 30, which will show you specifically, for example, in this case, what does it mean that this person's natural behavioral style is DI? And so Ken's going to explain to us, you know, the different patterns, and that would be the pattern that we'll look at, one of the patterns that we'll look at today. So we would go to page 26, which is the D behaviors defined, and when you've got the DI combination, what does that mean, and what's a more specific description of that behavior? Did that help, Tim?
Yeah, thank you.
So thanks.
Rich, Keith Henry. I'm curious, you mentioned a link for a download. I did not seem to get a link in my email from January 18th. Did I miss something?
You know what, Keith, let me email it. There should have been a link right in the announcement, the last bullet point under new resources. But if you don't have it, we'll send you one.
Okay, no, there's no link for me there.
How about the other?
I mean, Jim Barquette, no link, please.
Whoa.
Okay.
All right.
I am sending them as we speak.
So Barbara's working on that. And I would be curious about your comment on the wheel now. Does this help with, I know the numbers were always kind of confusing to all of us.
Yeah, no, I think it does. Oh, I don't know who you're asking, Tim or Kim. There's a lot of...
I was asking Ken Vogas.
Okay. Okay. What I always do is I always try to take people as quickly as I can to the classical pattern, and this is, to me, very, very helpful. It's an easy transition. If they pick it up in the wheel, that I can take them right to, you know, pages 26 through 27, 28, and 29 to look at that and give an insight into the difference within the D's, the I, the S's, and C's. So, to me, it's very, very helpful.
So thank you for that. So for those of you that weren't able to see that, the basic change on page 17 is those numbers became the DISC letters that correspond, obviously. So we will make sure to try and get that to everybody. So Barbara will be sending that.
Yeah, I did forward to both Jim and Keith, so that should be in your email box. I'm also going to regenerate your reports, and you'll be getting those this afternoon, so you'll have the most current. We did a few other updates to the assessment. Our platform provider clarified a few things, made things more clear, and then there were a couple of biblical characters that moved a little bit within the DISC continuums. Ken is committed to doing ongoing research on all of our biblical characters, and from time to time we'll see that we find that they fit more clearly in one of the other tendencies within a specific DISC category. So you will see that. I'll be sending those off to you this afternoon, and then we'll also just be sending just kind of a cheat sheet, which is pretty much shows all of the minor changes that were made. So this isn't in any way going to impact anything greatly that you've done or are doing, but we do want you to have a most current copy and know what those few changes are. So that will be coming. All of you, just so that you know, that following this call, we always send out another email with a recording for those that couldn't be with us, and sometimes people like to re-listen to these calls. Not only will you get it via email, but we also store these calls on OASIS.
So the other announcement we wanted to make is that we've been working diligently on building some more resources for you, and we're excited to announce several new workshops that we now have uploaded to our OASIS, to your OASIS. So you can now get workbook materials, printable PDFs that are free to you, as well as PowerPoints, a few videos even embedded in those PowerPoints, again, that are free to you. And so we have a half-day workshop that utilizes biblical discs. We have a half-day workshop that utilizes classic discs, so if you wanted to use it in a more secular environment. And we have a full-day workshop around biblical discs that does a more natural tie-in to our leadership encounter materials. So we talk about the pride triggers of each of the DISC styles, the fear triggers, and then the testimony of each of the styles. And Ken's going to touch on that today as he goes through just the D characters today. So those are new and available. And then, Barbara, talk about the new marketing materials as well.
Yeah, we've just added a couple of new flyers that's on OASIS under marketing materials. Those are customizable so that if you were, say, doing a class and you wanted to put the name of the class, the date, the time, and so forth, you could do that, or just simply your contact information, your email, your phone number, and so forth, so that as you're sharing information about biblical disc with people or classic disc, you have some flyers that you can now use for that. We've also put up our When Personalities Clash booklet. It's in an e-book format. You would have received that at the training, but we now also have it available as an e-booklet so that if you wanted to send that to someone to pique their interest in biblical disc, you could do that. That's available there. And we are always looking for new resources that we can continue to add, so check in on OASIS from time to time and you'll see things that we have updated or added to OASIS.
So we'd entertain any final questions on that, and then we're going to introduce Ken.
Barb and Rich, it's Robert Ferguson here.
Oh, hi, Robert. Welcome.
Hi, Robert. Yeah,
thank you. I'm trying to talk to somebody who got certified in DISC from someone else, and we were comparing reports. This behavioral pattern view, are we unique in having this, or there's not many that have this. Is that correct?
You know, actually, Robert, most of the other DISC providers have gone to a circular model or a wheel model like this. So if you looked at several of the other big providers, they do have something similar. What they don't have anymore is what we call the DISC continuums, which are the, you know, the trait continuums that we have on pages 18 and 19, which is from high D to low D, 28 characteristics on each of the DIS and C. So we really felt that we wanted to retain the trait continuums. I'm sure Ken will comment on how important we think that was from Marsden's original research. But then because other providers had this behavioral pattern view, or what we call the wheel or the octagon, we wanted to include that, especially since it helps when you're looking at two or more people paired together. So that was the purpose for that. But yes, other providers actually do have that as well.
Okay.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Well, we're eager to get Ken on. I thought that as we dig into DISC in 2019, that it would be great if we spent a whole call devoted to each of the four different styles. So January is D, February will be I, March will be S, and April will be C. So today, Ken is prepared to share with us about the four styles. So if you have your assessment handy, he'll talk about the primary D, which we also call the producer, the DI, which is the results driven, the D equal I, that's our dynamo, and the DC explorer. And Ken has selected either one or two of the biblical characters within each of those four, and he's going to share a little bit about those four. So I invite you to take notes, and at the end of Ken's presentation, we'll open it up for questions. So Ken, you will just turn the call over to you.
Forgive me, quick reminder to everybody. Maybe if you do a star 6 to mute here since the recording is on, and then we'd love to have you come back in when Ken opens it up.
Thank you. Okay, Ken.
I'm on.
You're on.
Okay. I just wanted to go ahead and say, too, that in order to go ahead and profile these biblical characters, the continuums are absolutely critical to understand that, and that was basically Marson's thinking, is that there's a clustering of traits on these continuums that make all the difference, and to be able to also know not only what your high style is, but your low style, and there's just as many strengths of the low style as the high, and you don't get that kind of a concept, I think, with just a circle. So I'm very, very strong with regard to keeping the continuums, because it really validates who these characters are. I'd like to go ahead and talk about the differences within these styles. The D patterns, if you're on page 26, I think that's where I would like you to go ahead and go so you can kind of follow what I'm doing. Other thing that I want to make sure that you understand is the classic DISC and the biblical DISC. That particular page is very, very similar, except that what you do is you now have biblical characters to the biblical and also scripture references, and the paragraphs are different. But once you are on that page, you can easily translate from one to the other by going to that classical pattern. So I just want to make that point. That's one of the reasons why we kind of designed it that way. I'd like to go ahead and just start with the primary one, which is called the producer. And in each one of these, so it's D, I, S, and C, we'll always start with the primary D. In other words, having just one plotting point above the midline and everything else below. And it makes that very, very distinct with regard to D behavior. Where you have that definition of what's the primary drive of that particular stylus is very independent in seeking solutions to problems. That is totally secular. It has nothing to do, it had no intent to have anything to do with a biblical thing, but it has a direct relationship to who Solomon is that he was a very independent thinker. In fact, in Ecclesiastes, it has that there where he uses the pronoun I every time. I'm sure he had some support, but it's very common with the D's that they're very independent in their thinking. The personal giftedness, of course, of the innovative problem solvers. The D's, all the D's are a good problem solver. They're very task oriented, but they have that innovative problem, that instinctiveness, that to understand what's really going on and what's really important. And of course, you have that story of Solomon, and they had two mothers and one baby, and they were really in a quandary as who it really was. And of course, he had a unique way to solve that problem. So he just cut the baby in half. Well, his whole intent is intuitiveness, as I say, the real mother will come to his aid, and that's exactly what happened. So they're very gifted again with regard to the problem solving. What I also do with this is to also not only show you the strength of the style, but always talk about the blind spots or the pride issues there. And you really need to understand what that is. And it's really the strength out of control that creates that kind of scenario. And is and the real testimony of a style, whatever it is to be able to go ahead and manage that potential for that overextension. Unfortunately, in the case of Solomon, he was very, very much wanting to be in control, and for whatever reason, he enjoyed women, and he had 700 wives, and that'll keep you busy. And my attempted humor here is that it was a tough thing, and God was very unhappy with that, and talked to him about it because some of those wives really believed in other gods, and he said, "You're going to be influenced by that, and we really need for you to get rid of them." Well, he never did, and the Lord talked to him twice, and that was a real negative, and it had some serious consequences. I wanted to go ahead and talk about the woman Rahab. She had a different. She was a unique lady. She was very much into. She was a Canaanite in Jericho, but she had a real sensitivity to who the real God was, and she saved a couple of spies and whatever, and saved her own life and her own family. What's significant about Rahab, she did take a tremendous risk to go ahead and do that, and the Hivites are risk takers. And she had the privilege of being named in the lineage of Jesus. So she's one of my favorite characters, but not many people know a great deal about her. The D-I, that has the I influence along with the D, and they're very, very strong in character. And Joshua is one of my all-time favorite guys in that particular category. And the thing that I want to highlight with regard to him is these are very challenging, and they'll tell you what they think. And certainly he did do that. And in the end of Joshua, he says, "Choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my household, we'll serve the Lord." And what was interesting about his epitaph was the end of Joshua. It says, "Israel served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and the others who outlived him and who had experienced everything the Lord had done." In the secular material that I had written and researched, and it's no longer in print, but it's really good, it's interesting that what it says, this particular character has the ability to influence a generation even beyond when they die. And, of course, then you have this scripture here that's, 4,000 years old and kind of validates who that is. In the case of Sarah, I always liked Sarah, in that she was very D in what she did. In Genesis 16, she was a little bit tired of this whole waiting thing about getting this heir. And of course, in describing this, this instinctive fear of a DI is slowness, and especially in seeking a task or a goal and accomplishing something. And she was very, very concerned about that. She came up with Plan B, and of course, it didn't go very well. And but later on, that same aggressiveness in Genesis 21, she came very strongly with regard to Abraham, with regard to Ishmael making fun of Isaac. And she said, "You got to get rid of this guy." And in this case, in Genesis 21, what's significant about that, God is saying, "Abraham, listen to Sarah." So it's not the point that I'm trying to make here. It's not the behavior of this problem. It's who is in control in this particular instance. God was in Genesis 21, not necessarily in 16. So it gives that testimony of who's in charge. The D equal I, this particular character that I like in this classical pattern is Lydia. And this particular style, the D and the I, have a natural skill set to be an entrepreneur. They're just really gifted or geared toward that. And, of course, Lydia was. She was a seller of purple garments, and she was from Tyre, but she showed up in Philippi. And she had her own company selling purple garments. And Paul came over to Europe seeking people that would be listening to who Jesus was, and he met her and asked her some questions and so forth, and shared who Jesus was, and she immediately went ahead and accepted Christ. So her epitaph was the fact that she was the first believer in Europe. And the thing that I like so much about Lydia, she was so excited, as we get sometimes, and they're going to go ahead and take care of the rest of the world. She says, "Now, Paul, you're coming to my house and sharing with my family what you just told me." And she says, the word that is used in there says, Lydia prevailed on Paul to go ahead and come to her house. And when you look at the original language, prevailed means, how do you want to do this, the easy way or the hard way? And I can just imagine it really impressed Paul to say, "Okay, Lydia, I'm coming." And there's some additional stuff on Lydia. Paul, of course, gets in trouble there in Philippi and gets thrown in jail, and then they find out he's a Roman citizen. And they decided, we beat this guy, and we're going to be in real trouble. And they wanted him to go ahead and leave town. But he says, no, I'm not leaving, but I am going to Lydia's house. And nobody was messing with Lydia. So that was an interesting add-on to who Lydia was. But she's a very, very dynamic lady and very, very strong in her relationship with Jesus. The most important, I think, character in all of these is the Apostle Paul, and there are a couple of reasons for that. The primary one is that there's the most information on Paul and who he was and what his talent was and what he actually did, and most importantly, his transformation. He was kind of a stinker starting out. He was really killing the people he ought to be working with, or giving testimony so that they would be martyred. But he met, of course, Jesus on the road to Damascus, and in that particular event in Acts 9 is the strategy that I use to go into how do you go ahead and work and love high D's. And of course, he turned his life around and wrote an incredible letter, which is the letter to the Galatians, totally coming up with a new paradigm shift out to what it means to go ahead and have a relationship with the Lord. And of course, he was a Pharisee, and he knew the law, and he came up with this thinking process, and they're so creative. I think I'd like to go ahead and just read in the paragraph that I wrote that really gives into the giftedness of a DC. So we have a DC in our midst. We've got Gail, you're the DC, and so I'm talking about you and trying to affirm you in your thinking here. And it says this allows the DC the ability to rearrange the elements of an existing system into a different configuration that results in an effective new flow of communication. Now, that's totally secular. It has nothing to do with the DC, but it has everything to do with who Paul is and how the Lord went ahead and used him to go ahead and come up with the theory of knowing how to understand the purpose of the law, that just shows that we're sinners, and the grace that Jesus did on the cross that is the payment for our sins. So it was a total paradigm shift with regard to who he was and his thinking prior to meeting Christ, and of course understanding what it really meant to go ahead and get into a personal relationship with the Lord. And he, of course, became a missionary to the Gentiles. His whole issue was that he was supposed to be the missionary to the Gentiles. And of course he did that. He went ahead and, because he was thrown in jail, had to write a lot of our letters. And fortunately, we had those letters, which are really, really basic to New Testament theology. So it was really great that the thinking that Paul had and what he had. the problem that you have with DCs is that in many cases they know the logic and the theory behind it, but they don't always have the ability to go and express it. And so you have two case studies there in Galatians 2:11-14 where he went ahead and confronted both Barnabas and Peter, and also in Acts 15:36-40 where he really had a problem over John Mark. And in both those cases, he was going more toward the law and how they were wrong, and it came across them rather directly. But the most important thing I think about Paul was the final testimony or test of his pride issues. And he had a thorn in the flesh, which we know he had, and he prayed 3 times that would be relieved. And God went ahead and answered him. And the answer was no. And he said, Paul, you have a pride issue. And we need a little reminder of that. And I need to tell you, your answer is my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And he had to deal with that. And it's in Corinthians 2, chapter 12, where he makes this statement. He says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. Therefore, I will boast more gladly about my weakness. That is why, for Christ's sake, I am delighted in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. And this is a big one. For when I'm weak, then he's strong. So what I'm trying to say is each one of these characters, and the main characters that I use, Peter, Paul, Moses, and Abraham, each one of them had that moment where they were faced with their area of struggle and weakness and failure, and they put their faith in the Lord, and they had a tremendous testimony of overcoming those weaknesses, and that's our challenge for today. So what I've tried to do here with you is to go ahead and highlight those particular characters and how unique they were, even though there was all these, but they were unique and different. And the major takeaway that I have come over my years of study is to go ahead and show how personal God and Christ is to creating the right environment so that that person has that internal type motivation to go ahead and follow him. And for that particular strategy is in the 3 R's, which is just another story. It's page 24. So if you really want to get the total understanding of how this all fits together, is understanding how unique each one of these styles are, what their strengths are, what their limitations, what their pride issues are, and the testimony that is possible to go ahead and overcome this through a relationship to Christ. And to really understand, too, the strategies that are there on how to go ahead and love one another. Rich went ahead and did that passage in Matthew 22, verses 36 and 39, where it says, love the Lord God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And loving your neighbor as yourself is understanding the need of every person that comes in your sphere of influence and knowing how to create that right environment. And that right, that environments, those environments are in page 24, where it gives you that highlight for that. So I've talked enough here, if you don't mind, and I'm open to questions. And the other thing that I want to just say finally here is that this: if you get stuck and you want to know a little about more about a particular character, and you want to talk to me, please call me. I'll be delighted to just walk through and say these are an in-depth understanding of that character and that love, that strategy that's there, and anything that I can do to go ahead and help you in the process of ministering where you are, I'm in. So having said that, I'm done. And if you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer them.
So please go ahead and hit star 6 and share some questions or comments with Ken. Thank you, Ken. That was wonderful. Ken, one of the things you and I have talked about, and in the last year we've worked hard to make these correlations with the biblical disc and our Lead Like Jesus encounter material. And for those of you on the phone that are encounter certified, you know that we talk about the head, heart, hands, and habits of Jesus. And of course, what often gets in the way of our submitting to the Lord and living the life he wants us to is pride and fear. And you've hit on this in some ways, Ken, but maybe say another word or two about the pride and fear triggers of the high D.
Well, thank you for asking it. And one of the things that's important to me is that one exercise that talks about the fear, and it's a template, and it talks about the want, and when a want is not grasped, the fear shows up. And of course, the fear of the dominant style is losing control or not being in control, or in specifically the DC is not being the influence point in making decisions. And when they get threatened by that and not being the influence point or perceiving that you're wrong, that gets become very, very aggressive. And when you look at Paul and where he was coming from, you know, he was without a question being, you know, he was a Pharisee, and I feel like he wanted to be the number one guy, and this whole movement of grace really threatened him, and he became very, very aggressive. So if you want to understand, you know, the dynamics of fear and pride and out of control, those four exercises, the middle two, which has to do with fear and fear and conflict, those two are very, very critical to understanding what that is. And of course, with the D, to reiterate what it is, they need control and need to be the influence point. And when they're not, they become extremely aggressive. So I'm hoping I'm answering your question, Rich. That's what I see in that.
Absolutely. And then what we've also talked about, of course, is when we are fully submitted and living in the Spirit, that's when humility and God-grounded confidence comes in. So what is the greatest testimony of the high D?
Great. Without a question, the testimony of the high D is to give up control. You know, to say, okay, Lord, it's your game. And I think that's what God was trying to tell Paul in the Corinthians passage where he didn't answer. You know, you got a product. It's about me. It's not about you. And for him to go ahead and embrace that, I think was a big thing. I like that too with regard to Sarah and Sarah, you know, submitting to Abraham. You know, those two, if there are two D's that really have a strong testimony, and that I like to highlight, it is Sarah and it is Paul. Those two, and being able to give up control, and it's embrace the whole idea, Lord, it's about you, it's not about me.
So I don't mean to put anyone on the spot, but if Jim or Gail are willing to share any thoughts about any new insights or anything that was affirmed or confirmed as you've heard Ken talk about D behaviors today. Star 6 will get you off.
This is...
Go ahead, Jim. Jim, go ahead, please.
Okay. Yeah, this is Jim. Thank you, Ken. This is very insightful. What types of goals could a high D set to give up control? Because it is a natural part of our personality.
Jim, I always like to go ahead and say, I think it's absolutely critical for whatever style that you have a degree of accountability with somebody else that can be straightforward with you. And I like to include or insert a little bit of humor here to, you know, when you go ahead and you've got to go ahead and start it out. If you're dealing with an S or and us S's, Jim, are the most sensitive to your tone. And
my wife's an S.
Okay. I always ask the S's this, Jim. I says, how important is tone in your receiving information? You know what the answer is? 10.
Yes.
Time.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, and they'll come up, you know, yeah, it's absolutely important. I said, okay, this is what we have to have a kind of a contract with it, is with us in order to go ahead and tell the, and what I want to affirm you at this point, Jim, I understand that you have a gift to solve problems, and the way in which you solve problems is to enter into a discussion with the conclusions that I may have. And some people call it an argument. I appreciate your laughter here.
Sure, absolutely.
And I understand it. See, and I need to, I need to understand how you solve problems. You solve problems by going ahead and debating my conclusion. And so I'll go ahead and I said, okay, what I need to do is have you, as an S, be able to send a signal to the D and say, Jim, your D's a little bit high right now. I also give some counsel to the S's, the I's, and the C's, and how to go ahead and work through a problem with a D. And this is very, very critical, is that when you go ahead and have a problem that you need to solve with a D, you try to keep it as simple as you can, with as few words as you can, to go ahead and say, this is what I see the problem to be. Jim, I can do A, and I can do B. What do you think? And so what I'm doing is I'm using the strength that you have to debate the two options and not attack me, or I perceive that you're attacking me if I only give you one option. See, and that probably has been the most helpful things for S's, I's, and C's to understand how to communicate with a D and solve a problem with them. And it's pretty easy and straightforward. I tell you, Jim, this is what I see the problem. I could do it this way, or I could do it that way. What do you think? And see, I'm giving, I'm serving over, you know, back to you to go through the debate. But I'm also setting it up where you're not attacking me. And you would say to me, I'm not attacking you. I'm just trying to find a way. But it's my perception that's the problem. And I'm saying, follow what I'm trying to tell you.
All too well. All too well.
See, what we need to do is we need to be together on how we do this. And I need your power, your debate, and your wisdom to go ahead and see what really is important and give me some insight and discernment of what we could do. But I don't need you to attack me. And so the way I do that is go ahead and have that little strategy, and I find it to work very well. Does that
help? That's great insight, Ken. And Jim, thank you. Dale, I think you were going to say something as well.
Actually, Ken, he answered my question in that explanation. So
okay.
He killed two birds with one stone. He kept it simple, and I understood it.
There you go. You know, the other, for those of you that are Encounter certified and have been through our Lead Like Jesus Encounter, we talk about the importance of humility and God-grounded confidence. And Phil Hodges, as he talks about that, suggests that we have to become a living sacrifice, right? We have to put ourselves on the altar and say, God, take my life and you mold me and make me. And that doesn't matter whether we're D-I-S or C, because we've all got those challenges and weaknesses and limitations. And of course, the problem with a living sacrifice is we can climb off the altar. And so there's the issue, is it's a daily thing, isn't it? It's just a submitting every day to say, Lord, you take me and make me what you want me to be today, not what I want me to be.
Yeah, and I like, you know, there's that in Ecclesiastes, there's that saying, it's, you know, that talking about three strings that making a rope or whatever, it's that third string that makes a difference, you know, and it's me and you and the Lord that's going to make it work, you know, and we just need to be understanding of each other, where each other's coming from, and you know, having an accountability to each other. And sensitive to the Holy Spirit as we go ahead and do it. I just want to make one other comment. I really appreciate Gail, you mentioning, and Jim, you asking, both of you are these, but you're different. And yet what I was saying in that simple strategy is I hope, insightful to you, that it is a viable strategy. And we need to embrace, you know, what works. And we need to respect our wisdom and discernment is different, and how we're going to make this work, and we need to include the Lord in what we're doing.
Yes.
Well, thank you, Ken, Jim, and Gail. Are there any other questions from the group about anything that Ken has said or anything you've heard today on this afternoon's call?
I just think this was awesome, and I really appreciate it. Thanks, Ken.
Yeah, that's not a problem. And guys, listen, please understand. The way you learn this stuff is get stuck on something that you don't understand, give me a call. If it has anything to do with an insight to a biblical character, you know, and why I come up with the conclusions I do, please give me a call. I'm available to do it. I want you to succeed. I want you to go ahead and make impact on helping people to figure out how to love one another. So anything I can do, please let me know, okay?
Thank you for that.
Thank you.
And let's all remember that is our goal, John 13:34, to love each other as he loved us, Jesus' last commandment. And that's what makes this so valuable and so powerful in people's lives. And I just think we're sitting on the proverbial gold mine here in terms of information that can help people live a life more like Jesus. And so, Ken, we're just so grateful. We anticipate doing this now, as Barbara said, each month, focus on the different characters in the I, the S, and the C over the next 3 months. So, Ken, great to have you join us. Thank you so much for your 30-plus years of study around this. I know God has uniquely prepared you to do this, and we're so grateful. And so, final comments, questions, insights that anyone would like to share?
How would we contact Ken?
There are two ways. My email address is krvoges, V-O-G-E-S, @AOL.com. And the other way, my phone number is 713-934-8810. The best way to do it is just send me an email that says, can we chat? Give me two times, when you're available, and I'll zip it right back to you. And if you can kind of give me an idea of what you want to talk about, just one sentence, one or two sentences, a biblical character, whatever, and then I'll give you a call and we'll chat and we'll talk about it. But I just really want to, the better you understand the scriptures, the better you're going to be able to go ahead and effectively use the disc model behavior. Okay.
So that email again is K as in Ken, R as in
Randall.
Romeo Randall. Okay. Vogus, V-O-G. s@aol.com.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, folks, thanks for joining us today. We love to spend time with you through these Digging Deeper into Disc calls. We'll be scheduling another one, of course, in February, and look forward to your attendance there. And we're just grateful for you and all that you're doing to spread the Lead Like Jesus message out into your spheres of influence through the Biblical and Classic Disc. So we'd like to end in prayer and then send you off to your day. So let's pray. Father God, we give you thanks for the many ways that you bless us. We especially thank you that we can be called children of the King, that each and every day we know that the kingdom is ours and that our end goal will be to spend all eternity with you. So we thank you for that promise. And Father, I pray that you would bless each and every person on this call. Continue to provide for them, protect them, be with their families. And Lord, in all ways, guide them and draw us closer to you in all the ways. And we want to be, your children that emulate your light and that your love flows through us to all those that we meet, and that it's very clear that we are followers of the King. So thank you, Jesus. Thank you for how you love us, give us grace and mercy and goodness each and every day, and just keep our eyes on you. And now go with each and every one today and help them to honor and serve you in all that we say and do. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Thank you, Jim, for your question.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Everybody, have a good day. Bye-bye.
See you next month.
Thank you, Barbara.
Bye, everybody. Thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye.